So this awareness-based meditation is very easy to do when you understand. You just have to make sure that your mind is in a relaxed state of inner awareness, without thought. Just maintain silent within. Then after that, the third support is maintain this silence for as long as you can. No need to know anything, no need to do anything, just aware. Once you are aware, you will be with the moment without thought. You will be at peace. Then you will have clarity. You will understand what is going on within the moment. Then you can witness the reality within the moment. You can observe clearly what happened, what arise, and how things become what it is. Then you will come to comprehend clearly the Buddha's teaching, especially the teaching on paticca-samuppanna, the law of dependent origination. Everything in this universe, the Buddha said, is dependent originating. Without mind, nothing arises. Without condition, nothing arises. That's why the Buddha always say, mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, all things arise. Then the phenomenal world is a phenomenal world of consciousness. Causes and conditions are required for things to arise, for things to continue to exist. When causes and conditions cease to be, the phenomenal will cease to be. So the arising and passing away of phenomena are all dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. There is no being behind, no permanent unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, grab onto and say, this is me, this is I. There is nothing permanent. Everything is flowing in a state of flux, continuously arising and passing away, following causes and conditions. So this is the Dhamma. When you meditate, you're supposed to silence everything, to observe, to understand, to insight into phenomena and to awaken. The meditative mind that can awaken is the silent mind. That can understand all this is your silent mind. And this silent mind is also your true mind, which is also your meditative mind. This mind can only arise when thought ceases. So you need to relax and maintain awareness until the thinking, the activity of mind, the sankhara, the mental states, all the mental movement slow down and finally cease to realize the silent mind, which is the inner awareness without thought. Then you are just aware without thought. That is your true mind. With that, you can meditate. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the meditative mind states that you need to make use of, to live your daily life, to develop the daily mindfulness so that you can be heedful in the midst of life. Then we'll continue from where we stop. We will turn to page 457 of this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning. Teachings from the adapted verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. Okay, we are at the next adapter verse, the last paragraph. We can attain non-arising patience and eradicate affliction. We can transform sentient beings according to conditions and essence to the seventh ground. We are like a fierce general who vanquishes the king's enemy. With the enemy eliminated, the king is delighted. So this one is just maybe description of how you can develop the ability to have joy, to do your work and your duty. It's like you work for the king, and you are able to do your appropriate service to the country and the king, and you are able to vanquish your enemies. That's why the king will be happy. And with the enemy vanquished, your country will be saved, and the king is of course delighted. But this is just an analogy. When it comes to cultivation, the mind is different. We are not here to vanquish anything. We are here to develop understanding, wisdom. And when the wisdom is there, it will root out the defilement. Then we will have the understanding not to be deceived or deluded by the phenomenal world of consciousness and form. That's how it differs. Anyway, we will go to the commentaries. Let's see what is shared there. As Buddhist practitioner, we must contemplate the purpose of our spiritual cultivation. This is very important, because as a Buddhist cultivator or practitioner, we must contemplate why you develop this spiritual cultivation, means the purpose of your spiritual cultivation. If you don't contemplate and reflect, you may deviate. So the purpose and intent is very important. We have to be sincere. We are here to perfect ourselves, to cultivate the wisdom, so that we can awaken, so that we can do the work that we're supposed to do. Without wisdom, you cannot liberate your mind, you cannot free your mind, you cannot free the mind, you cannot understand life, you cannot help transform a living being, you cannot do your duty, you cannot fulfill your vows and all these things. So the sincerity of purpose, intent, or the spiritual cultivation is very important. According to the commentaries, the author, he said that Jingsu Dhamma lineage is a path of diligent spiritual practice. The Cixi school of Buddhism is a road of working with people. This means that we must go among people in order to walk the Bodhisattva path. To do this, we need to work together in unity to carry on the practice of Dharani. So we go to the notes. The footnote 58. A Dharani is a method that allows us to retain and uphold, which is its literal meaning. So Dharani is to retain and uphold. That's why they call it a Dharani. So I'll read the sentence again. To do so, we need to work together in unity to carry on the practice of Dharani, retaining all goodness so that the wholesome action, speech and thought never cease. And we must uphold all teaching so that unwholesome action, speech and thought never arise. Therefore, we must persist in the cultivation of precepts, samadhi and wisdom, sila, samadhi and panya. As Bodhisattva practitioners, we need to protect our aspiration. When we can maintain, when we can maintain faith and samadhi in all thoughts, we can attain wisdom. This is very true. Huh? In addition to engaging in spiritual practice ourselves, we must also teach others how to cultivate. We must unite our effort and work diligently to realize and apply the Buddha Dhamma in our daily living, to persevere in giving rise to goodness and preventing the arising of evil. Whenever an unwholesome thought arises, we must have the discipline to quickly eliminate it and correct our course. So this is basically following the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. And the way to do it is to develop mindfulness, awareness, understanding, and diligence. So this part is very important. We must have the discipline to quickly eliminate unwholesome thought and correct our course. We also need the power of samadhi. This is very true. So that we will not be tempted by external condition. So samadhi here means the mind that has samadhi means it is collected and unwavering. It's in a very firm state. That's why you can see things as they are, because of that samadhi. So samadhi is not concentration, it's not focusing. The mind is collected and unwavering because it is without thought. It is just aware, alert, sensitive, with clarity. And of course, there must be some form of understanding inside, otherwise it cannot be in that stage. So a mind that is in samadhi can allow you to really stay unaffected by external phenomena. As I hear it stated, we also need the power of samadhi so that we will not be tempted by external phenomena or condition. If we can learn to make use of various methods for keeping our mind calm and focused, we can give rise to wisdom. So this part is very easy to understand. You have done it before. When you have samadhi, the mind is unwavering and collected. That's why it can see things as they are. It can be in a meditative state to observe, to understand, and through that it will develop wisdom. That's why what is stated here is very true. It can learn to make use of the various skillful means or methods to keep our mind calm and collected. The word should be collected, not focused. We can give rise to wisdom. Then naturally every move we make, every word that we speak, and every thought that we arise will be wholesome. So this one points towards the perfect of right thought, right speech, and right action, guided by right view, or what we call the first perfect of right understanding or right view with regards to all the nature's laws that govern life and existence. As we cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, we must always maintain our faith. Faith is a source of the way and the mother of all merits and virtue, which is very true. Without faith, you cannot move. That's why the first of the five spiritual faculty is always faith, saddha. Faith is very important. Faith will do away with doubts. When you don't have doubt, you are very calm, very confident, because you have faith in the Buddha and his teaching, that you will allow the other spiritual faculty to arise. Faith will give rise to virya. Virya will give rise to cultivating sati, leading to samadhi. With sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are, awakened, and develop the final spiritual faculty of panya, which is wisdom. So this is how the five spiritual faculty works. That's why it starts with faith. So to say that faith is a source of the way is not wrong. It's perfectly correct. And the mother of all merits and virtue. Because without faith, you cannot find the way. You cannot find the teaching. With these practices, we can gradually understand the merits and virtues of the Bodhisattva practice of Dharani. So this one, the practice of Dharani, is very important to hold on to the practice, the correct Dhamma path, the principles. Merits come from cultivating our mind. Virtue come from our action towards others. So this one, you can make the clear differentiation, because to have merits, we need to develop the wisdom. That's why we need to train our mind to have mindfulness. So without mindfulness, without wisdom, this cultivation of merits cannot happen. So merits come from cultivating the mind, whereas virtue comes from our action towards others, which is very true. If you have virtue, the way you conduct yourself in relationship with others, your surrounding environment, nature. So all this will reflect your character, your nature, your virtue. When you have good character, good personality, you will have good virtue. We must clearly discern right from wrong to sustain the strength, to sustain and strengthen our goodness, to prevent any evil from arising. So this is very important. We have to sustain and strengthen our goodness to prevent any evil from arising. If we are able to face affliction and worldly matter in this way, we will attain non-arising patience, which is true. So the non-arising patience is patient endurance with wisdom. That's why there is nothing behind to stir, to cause anything. It's not suppression. It's the pure understanding that gives rise to this patient. That's why the non-arising patient. The arising patient is when you suppress it. Then it's like bottle up. Then it will erupt. That one is, they call yan, or suppression. When you suppress your emotion, that is not patient. A lot of people make that mistake. I don't like to get angry. I don't want to be angry. Yeah, this is an evil root. Root of all evil. It will cause me a lot of harm, coming negativity and destruction. So they thought the way to cultivate patience is to suppress it, not to become angry. They don't want to have anger, hatred, envy, jealousy. But this is not the way to cultivate. The way to cultivate is to develop the wisdom. When you have wisdom, all this will have no power over you. he will cease to be. But before wisdom arises, you try to suppress all this emotion, then it will build up the pressure, bottle up, then finally it just erupts because it's not rooted out. You have to root it out to wisdom. You have to trace the origination factor. Then retrospectively, with wisdom, reverse it. Then in future, when you come across similar situation in life through your senses, especially when you see something you don't like, hear something abusive or negative that you don't like, or recall certain phobia or fear that brings about past sad or sorrowful or frightful memory. So all this, when you have the wisdom, the correct yonisop manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience, then you can be at peace. You can accept the reality of the moment. We are understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Conditioned like that, things are in it. It can't be otherwise. So that moment, every moment in fact, the causes and conditions already set. That is the reality. So we have to be at peace with all reality. So when you can be at peace with all reality, then you will not perceive the situation with anger, hatred, fear, or emotion. Now all these are the wrong view, the wrong thought, the negativity of mental reaction based on wrong view that condition the mundane mind to stir, react, and get angry, emotional, fearful. So when you have all this understood, then cultivation becomes easy. So this part is very beautiful. Non-arising patience comes from realizing an intrinsic truth. See? The commentary also say the same thing. Without realizing the truth, the understanding, the wisdom, you cannot have non-arising patience. We all inherently have Buddha nature, which is non-arising and non-ceasing. It is not something we obtain when we were born in this life, but something that has always existed in human nature. However, lifetime after lifetime, we ordinary beings are led by our default consciousness to create karma. We cover up our pure intrinsic nature. Actually, it should be clouded, no? The word clouded. Clouded our pure intrinsic nature. Transforming sentient beings and helping them return to this true nature requires vows and resolve. That's why you have to have the Bodhisattva vow. You have to make aspiration and strong resolve to come for the living being. Even if we have just give rise, sorry, I read again. Even if we have just given rise to this resolve and are not yet able to perfect our practice of the six parameters or the six perfection, once we form this aspiration, the six paramita will manifest before our eyes and enable sentient beings to eradicate affliction. Thus, we can attain non-arising patience and eradicate affliction. So the aspiration is very important. Where everything starts from pure aspiration, determination, affirmation. After we eradicate afflictions, our intrinsic nature will manifest, which is very true. When you have wisdom, then you can overcome your affliction then your intrinsic nature will arise. Mm. Everyone has the nine consciousness. We look at the notes. Nine consciousness is the enlightenment consciousness, Nibbana. The nine consciousness are the nine division of our consciousness. So these nine division are the Mahaya way of division, like I explained before in the past. The first five types of consciousness pertain to our senses. Our eye as an organ can give rise to seeing consciousness. Our ear that can hear can give rise to hearing consciousness. Then our nose can smell, sense, smell consciousness. Then our tongue can taste. That's why it gives rise to taste consciousness. Then our body or our physical body can actually sense things, give rise to tactile consciousness. Sensation is one of the properties of our body. Mm. Then the sixth one is the common denomination, mind consciousness, or what we call perception. Through the senses, the mind can perceive. We can perceive what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactily feel, and finally, our thoughts, thought consciousness, what we think. So this sixth aggregate is perception. Hmm. Then the ego consciousness is the personality, or what we call sankhara. Sankhara, or the seventh consciousness, they call it discriminative, because it's egoic. It will discriminate. So this is the one that condition duality, like and dislike, wholesome and unwholesome. So this seven consciousness become the organ. Mm. Then the sixth consciousness, the form that it take in from external, means the external form that is being perceived become the sense data for this seven consciousness, which is the organ. Then when it see thing, hear thing, smell thing, taste tactily or think of something, this sense perception enters the mind. So the external form enters the mind and trigger off contact with the organ. Then it gives rise to the eight consciousness. That's how the eight consciousness come to be. So this eight consciousness, sometimes they call it the alaya consciousness or storehouse consciousness. It's actually under the five aggregate of form and mind, it's just that mind consciousness. We call it vijnana. But the Mahayana, they go and add in the alaya consciousness or store consciousness. They believe that this vijnana is stored somewhere. It's just like our karmic nature. All the karmic action, volition is stored somewhere. So they have such concept. But actually, as far as my nature's understanding goes, we only have the karmic consciousness, karmic nature. So this karmic nature is the one. The alaya consciousness, or what we call storehouse consciousness, is another teaching used by Mahayana. Mm. Of course, if you want to explain things, you can create a new term. Mm. Then, in fact, you look at the first eight type of consciousness, it's no different from our Theravada traditions. Initial five type of sense or consciousness, then the mind consciousness, which is the common denominator. You need mind to arise all of the other sense or consciousness. Upon contact, sense data and consciousness at the respective sense organ. It will trigger the respective sense or consciousness. So that's how it happened. The first six, they are the sense or consciousness and the perception consciousness. So it's basically the five aggregate of form and mind. Then Sankara is the next mind aggregate, which is what we call the seven consciousness. Then eight consciousness is actually Vijnanam, but they call it the Alaya consciousness or storehouse consciousness. Then finally, they have specially created nine consciousness. They call it the Buddha consciousness or Amala. But actually, that one is unconditioned, the unconditioned, the oneness, the true mind, the true nature. So that one is not a consciousness, that it doesn't pertain to the mundane mind. So this one, the Mahayana uses it in a different context. So the nine consciousness is actually not a consciousness. Just when you have that Buddha nature, it's the unconditioned, it's not a consciousness, it's that nature. But I don't know why they call it the Buddha consciousness. Maybe when the Sammasambuddha is around, the consciousness he arises where he is a Sammasambuddha, we call it the Buddha consciousness, and he inherited all his perfection. That's why the Buddha consciousness can be very unique. Then Master Chen Yan explained that the nine consciousness is our intrinsic Buddha nature. See, the Buddha nature is the unconditioned. It's not a consciousness. The first thought, the first two, the six consciousness are created when the six sense organ connect with the six sense object. The six consciousness is taken in by the seven consciousness and become the thought that push people to think and act. So this is where the thought comes to be. So when the seven consciousness, which is the discriminative consciousness, make that decision, the mental intention, or what he call input the content of consciousness, that's how it become a thought. The five aggregate of form and mind, the second aspect. Before that, before the activity of Sankara, it is the pure perception, the pure awareness before the knowing. But the moment you know through your memory, we use conditioning, you stir, you create discriminative activity. That's why they call it the discriminative consciousness of mind. So that one caused the mundane mind to stir or to react to sense experience. So that content of consciousness together with the what they call sense data and the consciousness that arises from a thought. That is what a thought is all about. Thought is the pure vijnana with its content. It's actually the second aspect of the five aggregate of mind. We have rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, and vijnana. But as we know, the rupa is the external form, which is taken in by the perception aggregate. So vedana and perception of sanya is part of sankara. That's why the content of consciousness, you can say, is sankara, because vedana, sanya, is part of sankara. Then sanya perception brings in the external form, So the whole of thought is actually the pure consciousness, which is the receptacle together with its content. That's why it forms a thought. So here they also understand. That's why they describe it this way to you. So the six consciousness are taken in by the seven consciousness and become the thought that pushes people to think and act. Actually, once it's the seven consciousness, it's a mundane mind. After we take action, everything is stored in the eight consciousness. See, this is actually the karmic nature. They call it the alaya consciousness. As we clear out our consciousness, this is the place where both defilement and purity are stored, where thoughts arise and cease. Concealed behind the eight consciousness is the nine Buddha consciousness. This is their description. It's not to say the Buddha consciousness is concealed behind. No, it's when the delusion ceases to be, then the mundane mind ceases. As the mundane mind realizes itself and ceases, then the true mind actually went through the transformation and realizes Nibbana. Then Nibbana is the unconditioned. It cannot be described. You cannot talk about it. You cannot use our words to describe it, because it's unconditioned. Even the pure awareness also no more. What we call the pure awareness or pure consciousness without its content, or the awareness nature, that one all cease. So we must understand that from that source, or the oneness nature, or sometimes we will call it the Buddha nature or the original nature, the first thing that come out is the pure awareness. But for that pure awareness to come out, you must have a form and mind, karmically conditional. Whether it is through the Bodhisattva way, which is the pure consciousness, or the normal deluded way of normal sentient beings who are not enlightened. Either way, you have a form and mind. This form and mind must cease before you can realize the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature within. So that is the first one that come up. Then from there, because this one is the source of consciousness, source of energy, once you put in the content, it creates thought. That's why I have the four circle I draw for you in the Heart Sutra book. From the source, the oneness nature, arises the pure awareness or pure consciousness, the first one to arise. Then from the pure awareness or the pure consciousness, the next one that come out is the mundane mind, the phenomenal world of consciousness. So this one is the mundane mind that created the last circle, which is the phenomenal world of consciousness that form. That is what existence is all about. So how it come out is very important. If you are a cultivator, a meditator who understand how all this arises, then you can see clearly. From there, the first pure awareness that come out, this one has already been clouded by the mundane mind because of karmic, human activity, delusion, ignorant, ego. So most human beings or sentient beings cannot even have a glimpse of that true mind or that pure mind or that pure awareness nature. If you cannot realize this, you cannot meditate. Here all meditation starts from the silent mind, or what we call The mind that is without thought, 无念, the first hallmark of feeling. So when you understand this, then you will know how that pure mind, especially after you meditate and stabilize the pure awareness, then you know it's so near. The pure mind or the true mind or silent mind can become conscious and create thought consciousness. That's how the mundane mind come about. And it's so near, so fast. But sentient beings who are deluded, they are so heedless, they think a lot. Because of the continuous thinking, they cannot even realize or understand that there is another nature behind the pure awareness nature. That's why they become deluded. Then when they continuously use the thought process to create heedless thinking, mundane thinking, emotion, wrong thought, suffering or affliction arise. That's how the mundane mind stir created the phenomenal world of consciousness and form, samsara, existence. When you understand this, you will be able to develop the wisdom to return. So all of my meditation is to realize this from the silent mind, the mundane mind arise. Then the mundane mind stir to create the phenomenal world of consciousness, the egoic mind, the discriminative consciousness creating karma and all these things. Then from there, the whole mess of suffering, the reality of life and existence, the Four Noble Truths, everything that the Buddha realized is there. There you exist from that high aggregate of form and mind. So the triangle that I draw for you all, you refer to the Heart Sutta, you will know. At the apex, the top part of the triangle, that is your pure awareness, your true nature, your pure nature, also the source, everything. So when you come as a living being, from there you can realize your true mind, your silent mind, then you can move. You can use it to meditate, then sloping towards the left, you will develop wisdom through the direct seeing. The direct seeing that awakens. Then with the wisdom connected to the mundane mind, it will create what we call heedful living or the living of an enlightened being. Whereas if you straight away, without even realizing that true mind or the silent mind, then it will straight away create mundane consciousness thinking. Then the triangle that slope towards the right will create a form and mind, phenomenal world of form and mind, consciousness. So this one is how living beings get into trouble. This is how karmic takes its effect. This is how suffering beings go through affliction. Yeah. So all this need to be understood. Then you can reverse it. To reverse it is very easy. You silence your mind. And when you silence your mind, you realize you can develop the direct seeing, the awakening, the wisdom. Then you realize this mundane mind arises based on nature's law, the law of dependent origination. And the mundane mind is subject to karma, law of karma. So law of karma, law of mind, which is the paticca samuppada, the law of dependent origination. And the third one is the law of truth, dhamma. So once you can understand all this, then you will not be deluded by the phenomenal world of consciousness and form. Then you can return all of the phenomenal of consciousness and form, trace it back to your mundane mind. If your mundane mind is not deluded, it will not stir, it will not grasp, it will not cling, then all this has no power over you. Then you can use your form and mind to live. The third phase of Dhamma, which is Pativeda, the life of enlightened being. And that is in fact the most beautiful phase of a cultivated mind. Then with that, you can do your duty, fulfill your vows, then experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life and existence. So all these are possible when you have the understanding and the number. Then from the mundane mind, you can finally, through wisdom, allow it to be and cease. Then you return to the pure awareness. The pure awareness need stability. Then when the pure awareness together with the wisdom that is developed reach a certain stability, then it will cease for you to realize the source, or what we call Nibbana, the unconditioned. Then you can call it the oneness nature, the source, the true nature, or original nature, Buddha nature, is up to you. Then all these are from that before the arising of that pure consciousness or the pure awareness. So this is how it comes and how we can, through meditation, develop the wisdom and cease it. That's why when we cease the form and mind, we realize the unconditioned Nibbana. Then that true nature, everything surface. So this is a full process. Yeah? So hopefully this sharing can bring about further understanding when you read the Heart Sutta again. Yeah? Remember the four circle and the triangle. Yeah? Or we call it the Trinity. Trinity triangle. Mm. So this is the page on the four circle, which Sui managed to get from the Heart Sutta. Regarding the page, she will let you know later. I will explain this first. Return all external forms or manifestation created by the mundane mind to mental consciousness. Then mental consciousness to the pure awareness or true mind. To realize the Buddha nature or the oneness nature, which is also the source of all things. So this four circle, you look at it on the extreme left. The first one is our Buddha nature or oneness nature, or sometimes we call it the source, the true nature. Then the first thing to come out is, like I always tell you all, is the pure awareness. We can also call it the silent mind. Without thought, that is our pure awareness. But very few meditator or cultivator or Buddhist practitioner can realize this, can even come to know that there is such a mind, that there are two minds, the true mind and the mundane mind. So the mundane mind is the third circle. From the second to the third is very fast. Very fast, split second, because we have our senses, our trapped consciousness within. So from there, the life force, the pure awareness, it triggers mundane thinking. So the mundane mind come to be. So the mundane mind is actually the deluded knower. The knower become the living being, or the five aggregate of form and mind, traveler in space and time via karma. That's why we created this mundane mind that actually manifested the external manifestation of mind created via mental consciousness. So this is the external phenomenal world, external form, external phenomenal world of consciousness and form. So this fourth circle is where our mundane living is, existence is. What page? Don't know. Page 94, yes. You all can make a note. It's on page 94 of the new book, the Heart Sutra new book. Then we will show you the triangle. Yes. This triangle, the Trinity, is very beautiful. So if you can see, like I say, the triangle at the top, the apex there, there is this pure awareness or pure consciousness that first come up. Before that is the source, of course. That's why I put in bracket, the oneness or the source. Then the first thing that come out is the pure awareness or the pure consciousness. So this is the essence of mind, our true mind. Then it comes from the true nature or original nature. It is the unconditioned, it's beyond thought, beyond mind. So beyond time and beyond thought. Then this one cannot be perceived or sensed. Because there is no word, no concept, nothing is the unconditioned. So this one is stillness, the silent mind, the pure awareness nature. Then towards the right, you see, it creates mundane thinking, leading to mundane living and mundane experience. So this one, mundane thinking or mundane consciousness, we are the five aggregate of form and mind. Sense basis. The physical form is the body. So the five aggregate of form and mind experiencing life through dependent origination and the law of karma. That's why that one, the S down there, is the senses, where the senses operate to create the mundane consciousness and the five aggregates of form and mind. Where all the karmic law, the Buddha Dharma teachings of Paticca Samuppada or dependent origination exists. And also, of course, Dhamma, the law of truth. Then when you use the pure awareness to immediately create mundane thinking and mundane living, that's how you end up with the mundane, heedless way of living life. Then, if you know how to meditate, if you go to the pure awareness, your true mind, silent everything, and use it to develop the meditative understanding, then you will slope towards the left of the triangle. So this is the silent mind with the direct seeing. We are sati, or pure awareness, to see things as they are and to awaken. So when you meditate through the silent mind, through direct seeing, through observation and understanding, you develop wisdom, or you, which is the understanding. Wisdom born of samadhi, right view. And here is where yoniso manasikara is. The wisdom at the moment of sense experience is possible. So this understanding is where the form and mind is connected to, if you know how to meditate and the wisdom arise. So once it's connected to the senses, to the form and mind, then you can use it to live life. That's why the horizontal arrow is for living the heedful life, which is enlightenment living. So this can explain the whole of life, which is very beautiful. So in graphic form, it's easier for you to understand. So hope this helps. Okay, we go back to the notes. I think a bit more to go. The first eight consciousness are the defiled consciousness, which is true, that we brought with us in this life. They are defiled by the karma, that we have accumulated over many lifetimes. The nine conscious, on the other hand, is our intrinsic nature. Generally, when we talk about consciousness, we are only talking about the first eight, which is true. The other nine one is not a consciousness. But when we eliminate all affliction and return to our pure intrinsic nature, the true principle that have always been there will be revealed. That's why there is your true mind, your true nature. To completely penetrate this true principle, we must walk the Bodhisattva way or Bodhisattva path. As we practice the Bodhisattva way or path, we need to realize the non-arising of phenomena to thoroughly understand the afflictions of ordinary people and to solidify our spiritual aspiration. So this is possible. Non-arising of phenomena means through your silent mind, you see everything. Because Bodhisattva have realized the non-arising of phenomena, they can endure without enduring, which is very true, a very good way to describe wisdom. They reach a state of patience where they feel that there is nothing to endure because there is wisdom, a state where they can be at peace. Otherwise, with all the affliction, the conflicts in interpersonal relationship, a single command can easily crush our will to practice the way that a small rock can crush a seedling. Then we will turn back and will not be able to make progress. If we continue to cling to our attachment, our ignorance, everything in the world will be hard for us to endure. But if we clearly understand the true principles, we cannot be created nor destroyed. Our spiritual aspiration will be steady and unwavering, and we can resolutely and diligently progress. When our mind abides in Dhamma, in the realization that we have the same intrinsic nature as the Buddha, then we understand that there is no need to take issue over things. What is there that we need to endure? When we can retain all goodness, eliminate all evil, and be patient, as if there is nothing to be endured, we will naturally feel peaceful and at ease, and be able to eliminate every kind of affliction. That's why Bodhisattvas are very different. So if we thoroughly understand worldly matter, we will realize there is nothing to be endured, no matter how people treat us and what they say to us. We will not be hindered by any of it. If we can internalize this teaching of patience, then we can walk on the Bodhisattva path peacefully and freely. We want to transform sentient being, not become negatively transformed by them. So we must train our mind to reach the state of endurance, or enduring without enduring. Then our mind can be at peace, and we can advance steadily without retreating. This state is known as the non-arising patience. When we realize non-arising patience, we can transform others according to condition and ascend to the seventh ground. The seventh ground is a ground of far-reaching practice. When we reach the seventh ground of Bodhisattva practice, we can fully realize the furthest limits of true suchness, which is the ultimate teaching. This means we have already reached a state where our mind encompasses the universe and embrace all the world within it. That is the state of true suchness. Having reached the seventh ground, we are able to clearly understand the enlightened state of mind that the Buddha spoke of, and clearly know that everyone intrinsically has Buddha nature. Indeed, the nature of true suchness pervades the vast universe without limit. If our mind have expanded to the extent that we are one with all beings in the world, and we have realized the vast and boundless state of true suchness, then we can clearly understand that this is the same principle behind remaining clear and pure like a crystal sphere, which is how we describe the way our volunteer work together. Actually, all things, whether sentient or non-sentient, are encompassed by perfect mirror wisdom. We need to learn to benefit all sentient beings and non-sentient beings in the world with wisdom, like a clear and perfect mirror. And we need to perpetuate our karmic condition and for spiritual practice life after life. This is called far-reaching practice. Since beginningless time, Buddha and Bodhisattva have vowed to return to the world out of compassion to seek the Buddha's way while transforming sentient beings. Their heart peacefully abide in the state of true suchness, while they manifest throughout the universe to help others. When we engage in spiritual practice, we also need to follow in the footsteps of all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas to go among sentient beings and be of benefit to all by returning to our true nature of true suchness. So true suchness is the reality and is the oneness nature too. 一切如如, that's why it's Zulu line, tata, gata, tatata. So as we learn and practice the Buddha's way, although we have not clearly understood the truth of the Buddha's perfect enlightenment, we have at least taken the first step towards doing so. As long as we form great aspiration, make great vows, take the Buddha Dharma into our heart and put it into practice in our daily living, we can walk steadily into the great Bodhi path. Thus, we are like a fierce general who vanquishes enemy for the king. With the enemy eliminated, the king is delighted. If a strong and brave general can protect the country by defeating foreign threats, the king will be happy and worry-free. Our spiritual practice is like this. As the Sutta of Infinite Meaning states regarding the seven merit, these practitioners truly have courage and vigor. They reach the six paramita, the Dharma treasure, without seeking. The enemy of samsara will perish spontaneously, and they will achieve non-arising patience. Okay, we stop here. I'll mark this page, then we stop our sharing. So we will open up for meditation reporting and Q&A if you have any questions. You can ask.
今天我想要跟 Brian 就report 一下我的我的 meditation 啊。
可以啊。
So, 其实我都没有什么做 formal sitting。
It's okay.
我只有做我的早课和晚课。
那个很重要。
The
religious routine.
So, actually, Brother 就记得你给我一本那个 Brother 家给你的普门品
啊，对，
的禅定嘛，
对。
其实我有一阵子是有在持这个普门品，
呀。
OK， but 有一阵子又停了，然后就是没有持之以恒嘛。So recently 我又在start 做这个普门品 ，OK。
OK。
So, 当我回去再做这个普门品的时候，我每一天早上起来做早课的时候，感觉就是很爱睡很爱睡的那种。
OK,
有时几乎我在禅定的时候，我眼睛都要盖掉。
Yeah.
Okay, so, but 我坚持的就一直做，一直做，一直做。就每一次做禅定都会哭一直哭的。然后就做了大概已经一个多月吧，然后有一天当我在禅到一半的时候
啊，
突然间哦，他就好像怎么样讲？这个是我的我的 feeling 啦哈。
嗯、
啊，他就是突然间哦，他就是好像怎样讲？你的 mind 哦，就是有一个云这样拨开这样子。
OK。
啊，就你就很 clear 这样子。
嗯，
然后那个 sleepiness 就没有掉了、
啊、，very good， 那就
，then after that 哦，
嗯，
然后之后我就继续 continue 做我的chanting 哦 ，then after that 过了不久，我发觉到哦，我的 chanting 哦，从我的嘴巴发音跟我听到哦，我每一个字的 chanting 是一个字一个字一个字，很清楚的。
对，
每一个字 throughout 的整个 chanting 是很清楚的。
对，沙德，
怎么这样奇怪的？
因为你用心站啊，that is the true mind. When you chant with the true mind, is no distraction one, no thought coming in one, no distraction one. Then you have clarity, because 好像你刚才讲 ，initially you were sleeping.But I have to explain this first, the sleepiness. So 有时候 for some cultivator, because for your case, I think mainly because you have a busy schedule, your daily schedule, and also your duty as a mother, as a wife, and as a maybe human being. You have your duty.So sometimes it could be you need rest, but your mind strong, you don't have enough rest. Then you persevere, which is for your case is good because you can do it. But a better way is later on after you have understood more and stabilized understanding. If you are tired, you need to rest. You can rest for a while. You silence everything and like go into pure awareness, relax, silence.Like you meditate, but no need to do anything, just silent. Then you realize that rest, sometimes 5 to 10 minutes is very good, very deep. Then later on, you can adjust. Sometimes you need half an hour or what, it is okay. Then you adjust, then let it happen. Then after that, when you come out, there will be clarity. Then you continue with the chanting.But what you did also very good because of your faith, your aspiration, your whatever cultivations, virya. So that one actually allow you to overcome your fatigue and sleepiness. Then when it happened, there is like a transformation. It's just like nature is.Moved by your sincerity and your virya, your diligence, your faith, and all those things, then that thing will happen. We call it the shift in consciousness. But this is more than a shift in consciousness because when you chant the Wen Ping and all those things, it's like you do the Mahayana way of Song Jing and all those things, then your faith is very strong.And because of that, when you chant, the transformation happens. I don't call it a normal shift in consciousness. The transformation happens. Then you are with your true mind, your silent mind. That's why you can come to be aware that your chanting is different already. The voice and the hearing is like together as one. No distraction, nothing. With clarity. Then that time when you do it, it is a different type of mind because you are chanting with the true mind, the silent mind. 真心 So they call it the, from your heart, your true mind, you chant. Then that chanting is very different. That's why you are able to develop all this. So which is very good. Sadhu to you, Alicia. So remember, next time, later on, when you have developed the understanding and you have progressed further already, then if you are sleepy again, you need to rest, you rest, because body is still body. When you reach certain age, you will go through that phase of old age, sickness and death. So when you need rest, the body need rest, you can rest. And now with your ability to understand this Dhamma and meditate in such a manner, you can rest very beautifully. Don't resist or what, let it feel sleepy, let it go down. Follow the sleepiness and then rest where you are at home. Then silent everything. You are actually in the meditative state of pure awareness, but you are resting. You are not doing anything. Then that silence can actually lead to recuperation. Your body can recuperate and you will have more energy after that. And then only when you come out of it, you do your morning chanting and evening chanting, all this zhao ke wan ke, you can continue. So when you do that, surprisingly, you will be more efficient too. You don't have to, like just now in your description, you chant until halfway through the sleepiness, only the ding dong and the transformation happen. Because the first half session, actually, when you are sleepy that time, you can't really chant, you can't really chant, but you persevere, which is also good. You go through and you understand it can happen too. And your faith and your sada virya actually move the great being's nature. That's why it has a response and things happen. So these are the understanding that you need to understand and go through, then you will become beautiful. Once again, subtle to you, Alicia, all the good understanding and progress and what happened. So now you can continue your sharing. Then it can happen. What you describe can happen, which is very good. That's why I say nature is moved by your sincerity, your faith, your diligence. Then there is a response, which is beautiful. You have to go through this. Just like when I was young, I endure. We had that time my body can take it. So I wake up early, then I do my routine, religious routine. Then I went to office, I meditate. Throughout the day, I'm in the meditative state. And for 3 years, I did it. I was at my prime. I think 1987 onward, 87, 88, then 89. I completed everything. So during those 3 years, I cultivated nonstop, nonstop. Then, of course, after I had the understanding already, then I know I can rest. When I was driving, later on, as my age catches up, I need to rest, I rest. Then I know the beauty of resting. That's why when I rest, I recuperate, I recover, and my physical body actually become much more enduring and better. Sometimes to do all this work, you need a proper physical body. And the reason why Sakyamuni Buddha, he passed away so early is because he really very compassionate. He overworked. He don't have enough rest. Based on what is described in a lot of sutta, every day he sleep, I think, less than 4 hours. So that's the reason why his disciple, a lot of them live until 120 years old. But he already told Ananda when he was about to pass away, Parinibbana. He told Ananda, please, where Ananda later on asked him to extend his life. He said, no point, you know, this physical body is really like a worn-out blocker going to collapse anytime, so no point. If you really understand his teaching, he has taught for 45 years, more than enough. And everything you need to know is already there. Just like sometimes my nature used to tell people, after I finished the Heart Sutta sharing, I said, everything you need to know is already here, except the further way, the Bodhisattva way. That one, maybe for those who are serious, they will need the further guidance and other things. But basic Theravada, essential Dhamma teaching for sainthood way, enlightenment, the Heart Sutta is more than enough, very complete. Everything is there. So all this are very beautiful. Okay, you can continue, Alicia. Yeah, sorry.
这个 Brother Dio，其实哈苏他就好像我们的字典一样，所以我们要知道的东西都在里面。都在那边。嗯，对对。嗯，接着就是我是想说，嗯，after我这个 experience 过后哈，无论我讲话还是什么。 都是觉得很清晰的，就是每一个字都很清晰。Very good，sadhu，sadhu，yeah，很好。That's
why you will know. That's why from the way you describe, you yourself know that this is not the normal thing. That transformation. That's why 八戒帮 the cultivator will know. 真的，嗯，sadhu，you continue to describe. Yeah, 很好，嗯。嗯，就是还有就是，
After that, 我做我的禅定哦，我就是里面很多的法喜，很，我讲不出来，就是很开心，很开心，就不是之前那种很多的感触，很多的那种，就是我觉得这个是一个 transformation
呐，嗯，对，你的
mind 不一样了，嗯嗯。
就好像你会每一天到了时间你会去做你的早课或者晚课，就是你不用怎样讲啊，就是我想讲的是 after 这个 experience 过后我学习到的是，你要不要做是 entirely 你的 choice。
对，还有就是他就是给你一个
understanding。 说，你要不要做？还有你会不会用某一些事情去 justify 说你很忙，你没有时间做，还是怎样？对，是的，you
understand
整个过程你会很清楚的。对，不好像以前了。嗯嗯，而且你给啊，the Cantonese，自己啊，自己啊，you
use your own thought process to justify your laziness， 嗯，your inability to cultivate, to practice, to develop the meditation is all delusion. Because the mundane mind that create all this justification is to create self-delusion so that you can become lazy. So when you reach a point of cultivation like what you have gone through, you will see all this very clearly. Then you realize you don't have to strive on anymore. You don't have to like normal will, wow, determined to cultivate the practice. The practice like automatic one. No need any people to remind you or what. You will wake up, you will do, and like you mentioned, the Zhaoke Wanke. You said like last time during that 3 years when I was continuously cultivating, non-stop, the mindfulness. That time, I don't have anybody to guide me or teach me, although I have my teacher that I seldom see. But the moment I determine, I move. When the message from Kuan Yin came in 1986, I remember, that moment, I move. That time was, I remember, end of 86. Then I really move. Then 87, 88, 89, that 3 years, a lot of transformation and changes. It's only when you take it seriously and continuously cultivate and develop the practice, result will unfold. Then the cultivator, the form and mind that go through all this will understand like what you go through now, which is very good. Sadhu.
Sadhu Virtue. Yeah, 所以你现在慢慢开始理解到那个 causes and conditions, 什么是因缘法。
对啊，越来越深了，你会了解。
对，是的。
嗯。
Sadhu. Coming back to daily mindfulness, Virtue.
嗯。
我想讲一下我的 experience
啊，可以，好的，嗯，
啊，这个 on the 24不是我的孩子的 ROM 哦，
对
，OK， so 我在之前我收到一通 message， 我的朋友要我去旅行，然后我就 sorry，I cannot make it，you know，but I didn't really explain why I couldn't make it， 我就跟我跟我老师有一个约会然后 after that 他们就去了，我就没事了，然后我就 after that 他就 text 我说我们还有一个 trip 去沙巴，你要不要去？然后我就没有反应的去回应他们，然后他就 text 一个 message 来说你怎么样啊？他的意思说你不重视这个朋友的感情还是什么之类的哈。
然
后我这个是你个人的问题，他这样子讲。然后我一看了之后哈，哇，我的那个伤口啊，就马上说，怎么这个人这么不理解人家的？
对。Because that's the way they are. They are in that state, mundane living, and they cannot understand what people went through. So you will actually reach that stage, which is very good. Like what I went through last time. After 1989, last time I like to play mahjong with my classmate. They always call me because we are that group, very close since pre-university days or we call undergraduate days, then we became very close. Then what happened after 1989? Suddenly, my nature stopped playing mahjong. My wife was a surprise. I just stopped. No, they call me like your case. I said, never mind, you go ahead. So initially, like try to be, but then they realized after a few times, they say, what happened to Tio? Something is wrong, is it? Because I have the interest and I'm still very good at it and the skill, everything. But I just stopped. Then later on, they visited me and want to find out. They try to tempt me and all those things and say, who is coming? Go where? If you don't want to come out, we go to your house. I say, nothing to do with that. I say, my nature just stop. Stop means stop. It no meaning. 没有意思了。玩那些东西，那些 things that we used to do, no more meaning. Like you go through this phase. Last time you used to join them, the trip, a lot of fun, a lot of excitement and all those things. But now, when you understand the cultivation and all those things, the priority is different. Then you can understand why others are like that too, but they cannot understand you. So that is a phase that you will go through. Then after that, I kept doing myself. I didn't even go to Brickfield Temple. After that, I find a way to pass over my tape library duty to somebody else. I talk to that person in charge. Then get them to get people to take over. I know no point going already. After that, my understanding is there. Then I just let things be. That's why from 1989 onward until 2004, I didn't reach out to people or do anything. I just let things be. So that phase will come for you. It's the same. So all this can happen. Because once you find the new understanding, the old way automatically persist. And it's not to say you want or you don't want. Nothing to do with that. The nature just understand and stop all this thing. And it will develop the thing that it wants to develop. That's why after that, not long, I decide to come out into society to test myself, to train myself. Then I went into the private sector. I gave up a very good, secure government job. Then I tested my cultivation in the career field. I was at the peak of my career. Then when the time come, I retire. I completely retire after my daughter graduated. Of course, I got no more burden financially. I already reached the pinnacle of my life and I have everything. That's why I make that decision to retire and do the thing that I like to do to get involved myself with Dhamma work and all those things. Then later on when condition arrive to share the Dhamma. So after I retired in 2001, 2004, Yun Chan came. That's how I came up. But before that, I was ready and hardly anybody know. Once a while, the people come, but they cannot understand what I try to teach them or share with them. Then, of course, they go their way. So all this will be happening to cultivators. So for your case, it's very good. Don't worry. Your friend or colleague will continue to call you, but after a while, they will come to understand why Alicia is different already. So this phase also, you will experience, which is very good. You are starting to experience them, Sadhu. And how?
Brother Jill.
Yeah.
还有, 就是我想, 谢谢宝莲的 sharing.
very good.
有一个 talk 是 last I think last few weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Few sessions ago, yeah.
Brother Jill 不是 explain the... Then after that, 我听了那个 talk 之后, 哦, 哇, 我很感动, 然后我很流泪哦。
哇,很好啊。我就
vow to fandom the Tathagata true meaning.
Yeah, yes. That one is very important.
So it's like everything is like 就是需要一个 condition.
Yeah, 对, you need such condition to actually make the determination. In fact, a lot of our sharing has actually transformed into condition to have a lot of kayamita to determine, to have the resolve, to cultivate, to move. So all these are very useful, very beneficial. In fact, Paulian, that one also I remember. Yeah, it's very important. It's partly also because of the condition, and also partly to actually knock certain thing that need to be knocked. But the beauty is, she know when I mentioned about PG's case and her. She know, PG also know, that's why both of them know. I said, your character are different. PG character is very strong. Her one is, she like take it easy on her. But now she become more serious, which is very good. And all this you can see changing for the better, improvement manifesting. 很好啊, 沙丘,
Do brother Jill, yeah, so I'm very grateful for everyone's sharing.
Yeah, that can earn that gratitude is very strong. Like you say, you don't know how to put it into words because too much of it, there is this appreciative mind and also gratitude towards so many things that happen. In fact, after you have realized the cultivation and progress, you will have a lot of virtue like gratitude, joy, Farsi singer, like just now you mentioned, which is really true. And they all keep on coming, especially the gratitude towards the great beings, nature, towards those who have helped you, has guided you and advised you. So all this, it will manifest. That's why I always say that Dhamma is a living Dhamma. Whatever you develop or cultivate, after you have done it correctly, the thing that truly manifests is you will have virtue. You will become very virtuous. So virtue is the final outcome of wisdom. Without wisdom, there is no real virtue. That's why the true virtue comes from wisdom. So all cultivators end up developing virtue because they know this is the ultimate result of cultivation. Without wisdom, there is no real virtue, like I always say. So this is a very profound statement. You talk about virtue, but you have not developed the wisdom, the awakening. That virtue is, to me, not real virtue. Tinted virtue. Virtue according to the individual. But the true virtue manifests when the wisdom is there, when the understanding is there, which is very beautiful. 很好啊, 沙丘。
沙丘Brother Joe, 还有, 最后我是, 我是很感恩 Freddy 啦。
Yeah, 他 actually 帮你很多。
对，他真的帮。
Patient, and he really support you in so many ways.
对，不是每个
husband can really allow this spiritual thing to actually draw them on. Not easy. In fact, a lot of Kayamita told me, say, Virtue, you're very lucky. But it's not easy. Then even some of Kayamita, they tried so hard initially, but not easy. But finally, I think most of them got it through because the way we teach, the way we share is different. That's why Freddy is also not the one that gong-gong one, simply follower. No, he sees and understands the benefits, the transformation and all those things. Then how we never like other type of spiritual group or religion, very dogmatic or very rigid or force them, this one cannot, that one cannot, must follow. No, it's up to the individual, where they are alive, they decide. That's why he saw all this. Then he saw a lot of beautiful things, like a lot of other Kayamita later on, their husband come. They know this one is different. This one is not like a cult or what that believe. No, then they feel very like, at home when they join the group. They don't feel any pressure. Then when they listen deep into it, they realize this teaching is so scientific and so beautiful and applicable to life and can transform relationship, family, environment, and the way we transform our life, change our karmic pattern behind. So the karmic nature become beautiful after you understand this teaching. Then it gives rise to a lot of wholesomeness, merits, goodness. Then of course the good things that come with the Dhamma practice or cultivation will unfold. Then they can see like they are more blessed, more lucky, we should say fortunate in many sense, many ways. Then most of the time they are peaceful, happy, blessed, like full of joy, and life are beautiful, meaningful. No more of those the heedless thinking heedless way of living that leads to conflict, misunderstanding, problem, and all those, like slowly, slowly fading away less and less, then more and more harmony, more and more understanding. So all this will unfold. That's why they perceive it with understanding, then they can support you. Because Freddie has been coming to the classes very often, and also our activity of spiritual trip and many other things. And I can see the harmony, the joy in both of you. And Freddie is a very good person, very good husband, like Raymond, like that. Raymond, the way he treats you. Then you can see within a lot of Kayamita, even Pamasuri, Pradatyu, Suyan, Nihon, and many others, you can see. That's why when there is Dhamma, there is harmony. So all these are beautiful. So rejoice with Freddy and your case. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah.
Sadhu, brother, to you. Kanana, kanan, brother, to kanan. 希望我们继续的精进啊，
呀呀呀，
然后继续的学习啦，就像普贤菩萨想的是大愿这样，我们一步一步的走向那个方向。
好的，
感恩啊，
感恩，
我就讲到这里了，不然就感恩啊，
阿弥陀佛，
Sadhu,
sadhu. Let us rejoice with the good sharing and the wholesomeness. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good.
I'm so happy to hear her
sharing,
progress and transforming. So happy to hear that.
Wow, sadhu, sadhu.
It just shows the virtue. It just shows that how far we can go.
Yes, if you have the faith and the sincerity. Yeah.
Yes, if we are sincere and diligent in what we do.
Yes, very true.
You know, like I always say, these kilometers who have progressed so well, they are really an inspiration to us, Brother Teo.
Yes, very true.
What we can look forward to.
sadhu, very good.
I will definitely strive to do whatever I can.
You also did well, BJ. Sadhu.
Yeah, Brother Teo, these few weeks have been a real test to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You will go through all this. That's why yours is a different type of test, whereas Alicia one is a different type of manifestation of the understanding and the transformation in the way she interact with friends, colleagues, and people. All this will happen. All cultivator will go through all these phases. And you all will know very clearly within your nature and your heart how all this has transformed, because you really can see the changes, the transformation. And like your case, you mentioned about this test, this phase will come to an end soon. After this, I think you will understand the noble truth very, very differently. Especially the first noble truth, leading to the second, then the third, and finally the fourth noble truth. Yeah, this is the reality of life and existence, and you will really test it. And you go through and you see life clearly. Sometimes it can be very fragile. Life can just cease like that, out of the blue. Then sometimes it can be so wonderful, so beautiful. That's why everything is dependent, originating, causes and conditions, karmic and all these things. So all this will unfold and become very beautiful. So sadhu, Fiji.
Yeah, right here. Maybe I would just like to share a little bit of what I went through.
Good. That would be good. Yes.
When I first received the news from my niece, called. I thought it was the usual call, and I answer her happily. And she says, Ayah, bad news.
Oh, okay.
My heart just skipped a beat.
Yeah.
And when she delivered the news, I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah,
there was no movement, Bratio.
Yeah. You will go through that.
In the mind, in the heart,
there is no movement, no stirring, nothing. You are
so
different.
Shocked, actually.
Yeah,
so
you are different. Yes,
yeah.
Very true. Same as what happened to me in 1989. My son got compound fracture, the arm. When my wife called me, I was driving on the way back from KL. Then I realized, after talking to my wife, I just told her what is needed to be done. I say, send him to the clinic of my classmate, who is a doctor, Dr. Teo, in Sipak nearby. Then I say, I'll meet you there. Then after I finished the speech, I realized there was no fear, no panic, no agitation, nothing. My mind was calm, peaceful. I just do what I need to do. And I give very clear instruction. I calm her down. I said, no need to panic. No need to blame anybody. My mother is supposed to look after my children. And most people would have blamed my mother for not taking care. No, it's not like that. I have gratitude that she came now all the way to help look after my children, and she did a good job. And when I came back, she was so worried. She said, sorry. I said, no need to say sorry, mom. This is not your fault. It's his karma. He has to go through. And it was a test. Then later on, everything reversed itself and unfolded beautifully. Because everything is like meant to be. You continue to describe, PG. Yes.
Actually, after that, I was like asking myself, why no feeling one?
The heart there, no movement, no stirring, nothing, no emotion, nothing.
No emotion.
Yes,
and
because the Dhamma.
The mind is not even, nothing there.
Correct.
Why?
Because the understanding is there, it's so stable, it's just a form of mind. He know you, he know me. Then all this so-called relationship is the conditioned Dhamma, the essential Dhamma, no reality. That's why no mark of a self, no mark of others, no mark of life. All this understanding is there. Then it's just form and mind arising and passing away. Nature's law unfolding, karmic law, all this. Dhamma, essential Dhamma. And you will understand it clearly. That's why there is no movement, emotion, sadness or what. No, nothing. Then you will know how to instruct your niece or discuss your niece what is to be done. That's why you say you have to go back. You drive back, which is very good. So all this, you will know what to do. And when you drive back, you will not panic or what. At the most, you reflect, you contemplate. And sometimes there is joy because of the new understanding, the transformation. So all these are the result of a cultivator that has done well for you to have this mind state to live life, to understand life, and to go through all this. That's why you can confront the first noble truth reality with understanding. So all these are possible, which manifests in you, which is very good. Sadhu. Yeah, you continue to describe.
Actually, when I was driving back,
for
once, you know, it's a long trip, right?
Definitely.
And I didn't even have the music on, nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
I went even past Ipoh. I didn't have anything on.
Yes.
Just drive and drive and drive.
Your mind will be different.
Then later I realized, I've not done my religious routine, brother.
Oh, don't worry. When you reach there.
I do my chanting in the car.
Oh, sadhu, at the rest area. Yeah, very good. Sadhu.
Oh, right till when I was driving.
Oh, sadhu. Oh, you can do it. I'll be careful.
I can do it without having to
listen to anything. Your mindfulness is there. Yeah.
I do all my religious routine. I even do my
sadhu.
Vows. Everything.
Sadhu. Oh, very good. That is beautiful. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I appreciate the long distance driving, Bratio. It's like there's no distraction,
because,
nothing.
You are alone.
You just look at the scenery and,
are alone.
Yeah, it's so peaceful.
That's why that is what J. Krishnamurti mean by aloneness. This is not loneliness, no, this is aloneness. It's,
yes.
As a form of mind with that wisdom, you are alone. And yet there is joy. There is understanding to do all the things that you need to do, because the daily religious routine, the cultivation is more important than to go and worry about worldly things. Understand or not? To be distracted by the worldly phenomena, which is delusion. So all this understanding will surface. Then you become different. That's why you need to go through all this to be tested and see the transformation and the what they call difference that can happen to a living being. So all this, unless they are cultivated, they cannot share all this. That's why I rejoice with a lot of Kayamita who are able to share all this understanding. Then my nature will know, because I went through a lot of this before in the early years, and over the past 89 until now, I think 30 over years, 11 plus 21, 32 years already, very fast, 32 years already. That's why within these 30 over years, a lot of things happen. Then later on, as you all progress, a lot more can be shared. There are a lot more things about the nature, the cultivation, and all these things, which are very beautiful. But my nature rejoices, because a lot of Kayamita are able to develop the progress and the understanding, and all this sharing the sure way of like giving confidence to others. Like you mentioned just now, it really gave you all the what they call that inspiration to cultivate and motivate a lot of parameters because of the progress that you are witnessing. That's why, like just now, the sharing by Alicia, you mentioned you have a lot of joy and a lot of what they call a happy feeling about what happened, and you rejoice for her good condition and good progress. So these are cultivators who has that type of understanding and virtuous mind that can actually manifest all this. If you are not a cultivator, they were thinking in a very different direction. Sometimes you really have a shock. Yeah, they will go and like the Monday Maya will go and come out with this type of funny idea. Chana ka ve, yao ka munga si ve, hoi kao fai ve. It go negative already, understand? You know Cantonese, right, PG?
Yeah, a little bit.
So all these will go on the mind of the deluded and the heedless, because human beings, they think differently. But cultivator different, no. Cultivator will know one. There is joy. No. That's why when there is truth, there is good sharing, the joy is there. Even earlier on, Pocheng, they are also same. Song, Brother Song, they are also same. And many Kayamita, even
Sister Ingbi.
Sister Ingbi also very good. Then there are quite a number. So all this, they are starting to become different. And many things are happening. Many things are happening, which is very good. Oh, sadhu to you, Fiji. Anything else? Yeah, you finish your story before we go on to the next chanting session.
I think, Bratio, I will continue next time.
Next session. Can. Thank you so much. Yeah, quite late already. Okay. So let us rejoice with the good sharing by both Alicia and PJ. Sadhu.